are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Friday, everybody. Happy Timberwolves game day. Today we are going to preview Wolves magic on Friday night as the Wolves look for their third consecutive win. And yes, it would be their first three-game winning streak since the Timberwolves started the season 3-0. Crazy. Even crazy to think about the Wolves starting the season 3-0. That feels like it was forever ago. But they did. Remember the road win, the overtime win at Brooklyn, the win at Charlotte, and then the home win over the Jimmy Butler-less Miami Heat team. The Wolves are actually 2-0 against the Heat this year. Much happier, more optimistic times back when the Wolves were consistently ranked in the top 10 or 15 in the power rankings for like the first 3 weeks of the season. But at any rate, this would be the third straight Wolves win if they were able to pull off a win over the Magic on Friday. Of course, the Wolves just lost the Magic last Friday. So we'll get into that matchup. We'll talk about what to expect from Wolves Magic. I do want to start, however, with a look at a couple of recent surveys of Locked On podcast hosts about the best and worst teams in the league. The best five players in the league as well. So there's some interesting stuff to talk about there, to be sure, from some different team experts from basically every team in the league. So we'll get into that here in a minute. But first, I did want to remind everybody to please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. All right, so this survey, it's something new we're doing at Locked On where each host and in some cases co-hosts for each podcast will fill out a survey about whatever the topic is. So there's been a couple we've done so far. I'm going to do a couple of them here today that are related. So we started with the top five teams in the league. Every podcast host was asked to submit their who they thought was the best team, the second best team, third best team, fourth and fifth. And I have the results. We'll breeze through these fairly quickly because the Wolves aren't involved. When we get to the bottom five, the Wolves are very much involved. So I'll leave you in suspense on that one. But the best team in the league, the overwhelming response, 90.3% was the Bucks. 9.7% said the Lakers. So everybody said either the Bucks or Lakers, but 9 out of 10 people said the Bucks. The second best team, the Lakers, got 58.1% of the vote. The Clippers actually got 35.5% of the vote as the league's second best team, with the Bucks at 6.5%. There was one person who voted the Bucks as the third best team in the league, and otherwise the Clippers and Lakers each were at about 32%. So the consensus is that the Bucks are the best team in the league, the Lakers are the second best team, and that the Clippers are the third best team based on these voting results. 16% of folks thought the Raptors were the third best team in the league. 29% thought the fourth best, and then the fifth best, the Raptors just edged out the Rockets. So if we're going to look at the consensus here, is the Bucks are easily the best team. The Lakers are easily the second best team. The Clippers are narrowly the third. The Raptors are narrowly the fourth, and the Rockets just barely beat out the Nuggets for the fifth best team based on this voting. We also voted for the most fun team. The Pelicans won with 9 out of the 31 votes for the most fun team in the league, which is really interesting. Wolves fans, if you're listening to this, you probably watched Wolves Pelicans from the other night. They weren't all that fun to watch. Zion's a lot of fun to watch, but I don't know. It's just not for me. I voted for the Bucks for this. The Bucks tied for second with 4 votes. The Bucks and Mavs both got 4 votes. And then the Rockets and Grizzlies tied for third with 3 votes each. The Lakers got 2 votes and then 1 vote apiece for the Wizards, Celtics, Heat, Hawks, and Clippers. I'm not sure who's voting for, oh, I don't know, the Hawks or the Wizards, especially for the league's most fun team to watch. I mean, you can make the Trae Young argument all you want, but he's the only guy on that team that is a must-watch type player. So anyways, that was kind of a weird little side vote that we did. And then the most recent poll was the bottom five teams in the league, who everybody thought the worst teams were, which is really intriguing. Things turned out basically how I voted for them. The league's worst team was the Knicks. They barely edged out the Warriors and Cavs, who tied for second worst. So Knicks, Warriors, Cavs as the bottom three teams, followed by the Pistons as the fourth worst team and the Timberwolves as the fifth worst team. I believe I actually voted for the Hawks in there somewhere as worse than the Timberwolves, and I had the Timberwolves as sixth worst. So, but at any rate, the Wolves beat out the Hawks, if you will. I guess beat out maybe isn't the right term, by 5 points or five total votes for the fifth worst team. So the consensus from Locked On NBA hosts is that the Wolves are the league's fifth worst team, better than the Knicks, Warriors, Cavs, and Pistons. Hard to argue too much with that. Again, I think I voted for them sixth, but overall, that voting seems to make sense. The last thing I wanted to mention was we voted for the top five players in the league, and this is what the ranking ended up being. Giannis is number one, LeBron is number two, Kawhi Leonard is number three, James Harden number four, Anthony Davis number five. And I'm pretty sure that that's exactly how I voted. I know I went Giannis, LeBron, Kawhi. I might have gone Davis, Harden instead of Harden, Davis. But that's basically how I voted it. And then sixth was Luka Doncic, and seventh was Nikola Jokic, which is seems about right. And then rounding out the top 10 with barely any votes, Embiid had three votes, or his weighted score was three, I should say. And then Damian Lillard, Paul George, and Jason Tatum all got a vote for fifth best player in the league. So a pretty clear consensus. Giannis was easily number one. LeBron was easily number two. Then there was a big gap. Kawhi, another big gap. Harden, and then Davis was close behind there. So it seems about right. It's hard to really argue with that. Definitely an interesting exercise. I think that the best and worst teams is a little bit more. You can argue about that a little bit more than the best and worst players right now. There really is a consensus top five with Steph Curry out due to injury. You know, that's made things a little bit easier to pick a top five. Some other guys have taken small steps backwards. You know, there's no Russell Westbrook in this conversation, Kyrie Irving, guys like that. So, you know, just a really interesting conversation all the way around, and good to hear what other experts on teams have to say about, you know, your team and other players around the league. Everybody's really locked in on their own teams, but gets a good sense for the league too, covering on this daily podcast. So definitely a lot of interesting opinions in there. But yeah, a fun exercise to take part in for sure. All right, next up, we're going to talk Wolves Magic and spend the rest of the episode talking about that matchup, what to expect out of Wolves Magic on Friday in light of the Wolves' loss to Orlando last Friday, and what the Wolves have done here lately as they're on their modest but yet still exciting two-game winning streak. Wolves Magic Part 1 was exactly a week ago, last Friday in Orlando. Remember, that was coming off of the late comeback, the 12-point deficit late in the fourth quarter, and victory over the Miami Heat on that Wednesday. So the thought was that the Wolves could build a two-game winning streak against an inferior opponent on Friday in the Magic. However, despite the fact the Wolves came out of the gate hot, we talked about in our preview at the time about how the Magic were a good defensive team and just not a good offensive team. And the opposite ended up being true in this particular game. The Wolves scored at will. There was no issue there. They scored 125, but gave up 136 points. It was easily the most the Magic had scored in a game this season. This was the last game that D'Angelo Russell really got off to a really hot start. He had 18 points at halftime and then cooled off a little bit after that. One of the biggest issues was rebounding. The Wolves were out-rebounded in this first matchup between the two teams by a 54-33 margin, by 21 rebounds, which is just incredible. And that was obviously a huge issue. Otherwise, the Wolves, they were competitive. Obviously, they only lost by 11, but rebounding and a complete lack of defense was awful. Down the stretch, Russell went to the bench late in the third quarter with the Wolves down by just two. They were down 97-95. He came back in the game with just over 8 minutes left in the game. So 6 minutes of game time had elapsed almost exactly. And the Magic had gone on a 22-6 run with D'Angelo Russell on the bench and were up 117-103 when D'Lo came back in the game. A 22-6 run in just over 6 minutes of gameplay with D'Angelo Russell on the bench. That, combined with awful defense and awful rebounding, was enough for the Wolves to lose. Russell in this game had 12 in the first quarter, 18 in the first half, 28 points total on 22 shots, 5 of 11 on three-point attempts, only attempted two free throws. And then he also had four turnovers in this game. Malik Beasley was just okay. He wasn't great. Juancho had his first really good game as a Timberwolf. Since then, he's put up another now back-to-back really solid games. But Juancho had 18 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, and a block. Josh Okogie was really good. James Johnson was good. They didn't get much from Naz Reid. He had 4 fouls in 23 minutes, 7 points, and just 1 rebound in 23 minutes. So that was a huge part of the issue. Hernan Gomez had 13 boards. Naz Reid had 1 for the Wolves in this game. So those were the biggest problems when the Wolves and Magic faced off last time. Also, in terms of what the Magic were able to do in this game, Terrence Ross came off the bench in this one and scored 33 points in 34 minutes and did just a ton of damage. And then with the Wolves really struggling in the paint, Nikola Vucevic had 27 and 10 with 5 assists, only 1 turnover in 34 minutes. So the Wolves couldn't handle Ross on the perimeter. They couldn't handle Vucevic in the paint. And that was basically it. Aaron Gordon had 17 and 12 himself, just 1 of 6 shooting from beyond the arc. The Magic did not shoot the 3 wall. They were 12 of 40. It's 30%, but they were so good in the paint that they shot 54% for the game. So you take out their 3-point attempts and they shot 41 for 58 from the field. 41 for 58. I'm going to say that again. 41 for 58. That's 70.6% if you're scoring at home. The Magic shot 70% on 2-point attempts the last time they played the Wolves. 30% outside the arc, 70% inside the arc, 54% for the game. That's incredible. The Wolves obviously need to put up more of a fight in the paint. They've done that the last couple of times out. They actually have been pretty good down. They did a really good job against Zion Williamson on Wednesday. We talked about that extensively on Thursday's episode, recapping the game. And then also in their win the night, or actually that was Tuesday against New Orleans, they did a good job against Zion Williamson. And then Wednesday they did a good job against the Bulls too. The Bulls have less thunder inside, obviously, than Zion Williamson. But that's back-to-back games that Minnesota really competed in the paint. And Vucevic is a different sort of a task. And Aaron Gordon, obviously, too, although he hangs out on the perimeter enough that it's more Vucevic that you got to worry about. But the Wolves need to be physical. They need to compete in the paint. They need to compete on the glass in this game. And that's going to be a lot easier said than done. Since the Wolves and Magic faced off last, the Magic have lost 3 games in a row. When they beat the Wolves, that was their 3rd straight win. They've lost at San Antonio by 1. At home to the Trailblazers by 23, and then at Miami by 3. So they've lost to, 2 borderline playoff teams and a really good team in the Heat. And the Wolves, of course, have gone 2-1 since then, and really have quite a bit of momentum. They're at home for consecutive or for multiple games in a row for the first time in about a month, and having won both Tuesday on the road, Wednesday at home. They've slept in their own beds the last couple of nights, and they should be ready to go on Friday and have a really good shot in this one. All right, lastly here, we're going to take a look at the actual keys to the game for the Wolves, what to expect from the Magic, what Minnesota will need to do to ensure that they're able to win this game. Before we do that, though, I did want to mention local opportunities to advertise here at Lockdown Wolves. If you've been a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all the great advertisers working with Lockdown to reach sports fans. But you may not know that Lockdown Wolves is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Minnesota Timberwolves fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners, and not just any podcast listener, a Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with Timberwolves fans in a predominantly male audience that is well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. We look forward to hearing from you. Of course, not much has changed since the Wolves and Magic played just a week ago. Orlando remains a team that's much better on defense and rebounding the ball than they are doing anything else. We'll run through those numbers again. So far this season, the Magic are 25th in the league in offensive rating, and they're 26th in 3-point shooting percentage. In terms of three-point attempts. They're 19th in attempts per game, but they're only making 33.9%. That's slightly better than the Timberwolves. However, of course, the Wolves are now a very different team, and we talked about this on Thursday's show. Malik Beasley and Juancho Hernangómez are hitting career best marks from beyond the arc, well over 40% since the trade deadline in the dozen games, or I guess 11 games since then. The Wolves have just been on fire from three, so that number skewed a little by the Trevion Grahams and some of the guys shooting threes early in the season for the Wolves. But at any rate, the Magic are 26th in three-point shooting percentage, 25th in offensive rating. But when it comes to defense, they're sixth in defensive rebounding and ninth in overall defensive rating. Vucevic is a huge part of the rebounding numbers. Aaron Gordon's a good rebounder as well. Jonathan Isaac, when he was healthy, was doing a really good job on the glass. Of course, he's out for the rest of the season with a knee injury. But he was a big part of their rebounding efforts as well. Looking at other guys on this team that are really good from rebounding percentage standpoint, Mo Bamba off the bench does a great job. This team pretty much rebounds all five. I mean, there's a couple guys that Terrence Ross, I guess, would be the obvious exception, DJ Augustine. But basically everybody that plays in the front court and on the wings for this team can rebound the ball. I mean, Michael Carter-Williams is a really good rebounder for a guard. And this team competes on the glass, and that's a big part of why they've been able to hang in the Eastern Conference playoff race, despite having a bottom five offense to this point and playing at a slow pace and not being able to make three-pointers. But they're decent, they're good on defense, they're really good on the glass, and that's been enough to get them to the 27 and 35 mark that they're at. Not ultra impressive, but enough to be in the conversation for the playoffs in the East. And that's also how they beat the Wolves a week ago, was beat them on the glass by 21 rebounds and doing enough offensively to, they did more than enough. They scored a season high 136 points, but enough to outscore a Timberwolves team that has been outside of the Mavs game on Sunday when the Wolves scored 91 points. The Timberwolves offense has been virtually unstoppable since the trade deadline, and the Magic were able to outscore them last time around. So look for more of the same. Look for the Magic to try and pound the ball inside. Look for Vucevic to get plenty of touches. Look for Aaron Gordon to try and get into the paint. Nasri needs to look out. He needs to try his best to not get into foul trouble. He's been much better over the last couple of games than he has been for really the rest of the season. He remains kind of a per 36 star in terms of when he gets minutes and he can stay on the floor, he produces in short spurts. But early on in the season, he just wasn't getting much run, and he was really good when he did. Then it kind of morphed into, after Towns' injury, Reed was always in foul trouble. And then more recently, it's been a combination of rotations. And then in the games when Nas has actually stayed on the floor, here he's had back-to-back really good games in New Orleans on Tuesday and then at home against the Bulls on Wednesday. And the Wolves will be looking more of the same from him. Although the matchup with Vucevic and Mo Bamba, with Aaron Gordon in there as well, is not an easy one for Nas, and he didn't do well with it last Friday. So I think he's a key for this game. If he can have his third straight really good game, the Timberwolves are going to feel pretty good about themselves. And I know the Magic aren't world beaters, but they did beat the Wolves last Friday, and they are likely a playoff team in the East, and they have some tough front court players. And the Wolves need to see Nas compete against those types of players if they're going to be convinced that he's a rotation player moving forward, whether that be backing up Karl Anthony Towns or playing some minutes next to Karl Anthony Towns. But he's going to be a big key to this game for the Wolves. If I'm highlighting one player for the Magic, that's obviously going to be Terrence Ross. I mentioned he went off against the Wolves coming off the bench. He's been a bench player all season for Orlando. And against the Wolves last Friday, he had 33 points in 34 minutes, shot 7-15 beyond the arc, 13-25 overall, pitched in 5 rebounds, 3 assists, couple steals. And then since then, he scored 21 against the Spurs in their loss, 23 against Portland in their loss. And then last time out against Miami just the other night on Wednesday, he had 35 points in 34 minutes. He didn't have any other stats, which is incredible. No rebounds, no assists, no steals, no blocks. He did have one turnover and two fouls, but somehow didn't do anything else, which is obviously not great. But from a scoring perspective, over his last four games, including starting with that game against Minnesota, he's averaging 28 points, 3.5 rebounds a game, shooting 53.5% beyond the arc over the past four games. 53.5% beyond the arc, 54.3% overall from the field, shooting just under 4 free throws a game at basically 87% from the line. So the Wolves are likely going to put Josh Okogie on him. Okogie's going to guard Evan Fournier with the starters. Fournier is the most dynamic all-around scorer for the Magic, and a big reason why they've been able to hang in the playoff race without any true, you know, sharpshooters from the perimeter, without a consistent offensive attack. Fournier is a really exciting guard that can score in multiple ways. He's the starter that Okogie's going to guard. And then I would imagine when Terrence Ross comes into the game, the Wolves will put a lot of their focus on him. He's the other dynamic wing that obviously hurt the Wolves last time around. So Ross is the guy to keep an eye on. He's been really hot lately. And overall for the season is having an okay season, similar to what he did last year for Orlando. But this stretch of four games has been nothing short of incredible for Terrence Ross. This is, as I mentioned, this is a really winnable game for the Wolves. Winning three in a row, even if they are against non-playoff teams in the Pelicans, Bulls, and Magic, it's still not the Warriors, it's still not the Cavs, it's still not the Knicks. You know, these are still, they're teams that all think that they're in the playoff conversation despite being below 500, really in that same tier as the Wolves, that, you know, not the worst five teams, but probably in that 6 to 10 in terms of the worst teams in the league. And if the Wolves can win those games without Karl-Anthony Towns, it gives you some hope that with Towns, this roster is kind of a middle of the pack team as currently constructed. You know, and this team's obviously not going to look the exact same way next year. There's going to be some additions made. There's going to be some subtractions. There's going to be a high lottery pick for the Wolves, most likely. And so it gives you some hope moving forward. If the Wolves can pull out a win against the Magic Friday, and then after that, they host the Pelicans on Sunday for the second game against the Pelicans in under a week, and a real opportunity for the Wolves to win four straight here if they can win Friday and win on Sunday as well. All right, we'll be back on Monday morning. We'll talk about Friday's game against the Magic. We'll also talk about Sunday's game against the Pelicans. Hopefully a couple more wins for the Wolves. Last Monday's show was not exciting after dealing with the Magic loss and then the hideous loss on Sunday against the Mavericks. But we will spend some time talking about both games on Monday, so make sure to join us then. That's all we have for you today. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is Locked On Wolves podcast. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll catch you next time.